Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Chof Zion. This is the 27th chapter of the book of Iyov. This Perek is unique in that it is the beginning of Iyov's first speech that he's not making in response to his friends. Now remember, when his friends first came, he presented his position and they argued with him. Three tiers of discussion. Three friends, and then two friends, and he responded in like to each of their speeches. This is the first time, after seeing that they've now desisted, that he once again strengthens his position. His three friends will no longer interject. They will no longer have a voice in this book. And now he starts his 10th speech, which is divided over the next two prokim, Perek Chof Zayin and Perek Chof Ches. Our Perek, the first half of the speech, is 23 psukim long. And the general way that the Malbim views the way this Perek works is Iyov now sees that because his friends are desisting, he launches into an attack upon them in a certain sense. He believes that they have been flattering, chanefim, when it comes to Hashem, that they are saying things which look religious, which they themselves don't truly believe. So let's go through the Perek. He makes four main points. The first point is to be found in the first four psukim, Aleph to Dalet. And he basically says, while I am still alive, I will do everything within my capacity to speak truth. He says, I will not do things which I do not believe in. That's why he says emphatically in Pasuk Dalet, Im tadaberna sefosai avlo ulushani im yehege rimiya. I will not do anything which looks like it is false. I will say my heart. In other words, everything I've been saying up to now is exactly what I feel inside. In fact, so strongly does he say this, that Pasuk Beis indicates that he actually makes an oath. Chai kel heser mishpati, v'shakai hemar navshi. He takes an oath by the life of Hashem, by the energy, the life-giving force of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. It's fascinating that Rashi points out, quoting Chazal, that you see from here that Iyov really deeply loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't swear by something you don't believe in. You don't swear by something which doesn't mean something to you. The fact that he is swearing Chai Kel by the life of Hashem means that ultimately he deeply loves Hashem, even though there are many questions that he has. We move to his second point. The second point of Iyov runs from Psukim Hei to Vov, in which he says he will not acquit his friends, the guilt that they've put upon him, until his dying day. He will not live with the dissonance of falsehood in his heart, knowing what he said was correct. They accused him, but ultimately, really, he was a bad person at heart, and he lived a very good lifestyle on the outside. That's what they said about him. And he says, I will not forgive you that. Chalelali im atztik eschem ad egva le'asir tumasi mimeni. I will not accede. I know I am not wrong, even though you continue to persist to say I am. In point three, which is Psukim Zayin 2 Yud, he says very strongly. In this section he now says, well, why is it that people flatter God in the first place? He talks about the chanef, the person who is a flatterer, which means that they think one thing, but they say another. What is it that they seek to achieve? Do they think they're going to mislead HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their flattery? Do they think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to their tefillos more because they are now flattering him? Do they think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get nachas from thinking that he has more servants on earth? The basic question and accusation he's making of his friends is, you are making these very, very frum comments about me. You were saying, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must always be right. And Iyov, you must have been sinning. But you know why you're doing that? You knew that there was no bone to be picked about me. You knew that there was no ground to stand upon me. But you wanted to flatter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why you stood your ground. So Iyov says, I'm sorry. What is it that you seek to gain? You are the one who are flatterers. You are the ones who are saying things which look all very nice and upright, but you don't believe them because they're not true. You know that they're not true in this case. Which leads us to point four. Point four actually is only two psukim, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. And he says in this section, I'll teach you about the ways of Hashem. Hashem does not appreciate duality or duplicitness. Im shakai lo yachached. I will not I will not deny in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what? Hena tim kulchem chazisem v'loma zeh hevel tebolu. You know this to be true. You know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appreciate people who are one of heart and one of lips, that they speak something different to what they feel inside. And then he launches into the last point. There's actually 5 points in this perek, which is Psokim Yud Gimel to Chav Gimel. And in this section, it's very interesting to read this. He talks about the Rasha who succeeds. And he talks about that even though his children may die after his death, or his wealth will be consumed, or he's even left unburied, in the end of the day, he still led a life of happiness. He still died a free man. He still died untouched by justice. The way the Malam understands these 10 or these 11 psukim is the idea over here that he feels that any of the explanations that they have yielded up till now as to why a Rasha will succeed are not enough to explain why he does not meet justice in his life. I find it a little difficult to understand the Malbim's explanation of these psukim, because how does that fit with what he was saying beforehand? What he was saying beforehand is that there's a notion of a chanef, a person who flatters HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they don't believe it to be true. So I like to take the perspective of Rav Schwab over here, that these last psukim, this last section of the parak describing the success of the Rishayim and all the things that will happen after their death, is a sarcastic comment, sort of read in the following way. Yes, right, yeah, right, sure. You believe, you really believe, that every Rasha who's successful in life, immediately after their death, all their children are wiped out and their widows will not weep for them and their fortune is redistributed to other people and they lie unburied? You really believe that? Yeah, right. There's a certain level of sarcasm which is expressed in this last section, the second half of this perek. And that's what he really does as he introduces the section in Pasuk Yud Beis. Henatem kolchem chazisem. You've all seen this. V'lomo zeh hevel tebolu. So why do you talk emptiness? Why do you add hot air to the world when you know it's not true? And what he's essentially doing is he's turning all of their stories. He is accusing them of the flattery. You say, you know what? It must be that the Rasha will be sorted out right after his death. Well, that's not true. Look around. There are many terrible, corrupt people, and they just don't die and live the type of life after their death that you described. Isn't the case. You know that. And if you know that, therefore you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, therefore you are chanefim. And that's the way the perek concludes. Very, very sharp comment, very sharp argument. This leads us into the next perek, in the conclusion of this particular speech. In this case, Eov is going to now point out that even if one cannot fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he will spend his life trying to, he will still love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This ends our perek today. God willing, we'll continue tomorrow with perek Chav Ches. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.